BlueNile.com.
Build up to Black Friday with savings all month long at Lowe's. Get up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, take an additional 10% off when you buy select major appliances. And don't wait to pick up holiday inflatables under $20. Don't wait to save in-store or online now. Because Lowe's knows deals. Valid 11/6 through 12/4. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. See Lowe's.com for details and qualifying items while supplies last.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. A nice morning to start things off. It's pretty warm out there already. If you haven't woken up and checked out the weather for today, you've got another... I mean, it's not like it's getting bad anytime soon. But as of right now, you've got about 58, 59 degrees. Got a beautiful sunrise on its way. And a day when, as you just heard Phil mention, you're going to get up to 70. 70 degrees on November 7th. We'll take that. Not quite global warming, alarming panic weather, though, because we've had warm days in November before. But really, you're looking at a nice weekend, 65 tomorrow, 52 on Saturday, 59, and partly cloudy on Sunday. Some much-needed rain on Monday. But still close to 70 degrees. Yeah, we'll take it. For me, 50 to 70 is perfect weather. I don't mind rainy days. I just hate snow. And I think for a lot of people yesterday, they either felt like it was a rainy day or they felt like the clouds had parted. And however you came away from the election results, the post-mortem of the election is what'll be fascinating. And I'm not talking about, you know, things like seeing Maura Healey and Kim Driscoll pledge to combat the things that people are afraid a Trump administration is going to try to do. I mean, like, just the data analysis of the election. And certainly the data analysis of some of the things that happened here locally are fascinating. And one of the things that I was hearing yesterday, both from callers, from the people on the air, from people just having conversations, is when you look at how close it was for Donald Trump here on the South Coast. And I think the last... numbers that I saw, I haven't checked that updated page in a while, but the last data that I saw yesterday was, it was like 43.5% for Kamala Harris and 45% for Donald Trump across Bristol County. So basically a tie. And then people were saying, well, that just goes to show how conservative Bristol County is. And I don't know that that's what it necessarily means. I think it shows how against, I mean, of course, there's a lot of conservative people and communities on the South Coast. Why would this radio station work if not for that? I mean, sure, we try to be your local source for news and information without any kind of agenda behind it, but the syndicated program that we carry is predominantly conservative because that's what's available on talk radio. There aren't a lot of liberal programs on talk radio. They've never worked because people that are of a liberal mindset don't feel the need to sit and listen to other people talking about the things that they already believe. You know, as critics of talk radio would say, they don't need to sit in an echo chamber. As critics of mainstream media would say, they don't need talk radio because they're getting their viewpoints heard on mainstream TV, you know, cable news. But whatever the I think the biggest reason it doesn't work as a talk radio format, and there's been many attempts to try. The Air American Network in the early 2000s tried to launch a liberal talk network, but I think the biggest reason is it doesn't get the calls. The liberal viewpoint doesn't motivate people to call in and complain about things like a conservative mindset does. And that's not criticizing people who are conservative. It's just saying that that's, you know, kind of how it breaks down. And so the idea is that, yes, there is a lot of conservatism on the South Coast in Bristol County. But I think that you also had a lot of people who are, you know, what they were talking about across the country. Blue collar people who might not have any political alignment, who just want something different than what's currently going on. And I think you saw a lot of that across Bristol County. And I'm sure some of you are that way. I'm sure some of you were, you know, just as you hear people all the time that say things like, I always voted Republican, but I voted for Obama. Well, you might also hear people say, well, I always voted Democrat, but this time around I had to vote for Trump. Because they just wanted to see things go in a different direction. And looking back on it, you know, kind of the way that things all shook out, I'm surprised that there wasn't more of that in some of the polling that was done. Or maybe they asked the question and the media didn't want to report those results. Or maybe the pollsters didn't want to ask the question because they didn't want to have to report those results. But the question was usually like, so how satisfied are you with the way the country is going right now? Or what would you give, you know, do you approve of Joe Biden's performance? You know, that's kind of how they'll frame the questions. But somebody should have asked the question in these polls, does the economy make you lean toward voting for Donald Trump? And I think that would have given you probably most accurate poll information. But again, it's just another year that proves don't pay attention to polls. And that's across the board. Because we saw differing information on what mattered to people. You know, if you were listening to the polls ahead of time, abortion was one of the biggest issues across the country for people that were going out to vote. But if you listen to the exit polls that happened on Election Day, it was kind of like third or fourth place. And it was, you know, like 12% said that it was a key issue for them. And I think I was talking about this with Chris McCarthy yesterday between the shows. And I think part of that is because people just realized whoever they elected isn't changing anything. If it is under the state's control, which is, you know, supposedly why the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, well, the Dobbs decision. So if that's what it's supposed to be, well, then you've got to handle that at the state level. So your presidential choice won't have an effect on that, other than from a, you know, a PR standpoint. But if you're going to believe Donald Trump at his word and say he doesn't want to push for a national abortion ban, well, then if that issue matters to you, you know it's something to pay attention to at the state level. I mean, if I think far and away, you know, the economy was number one. And you saw people vote for that reason. Now, the other part of it is how much leeway do people give the new Trump administration in righting the ship? Because this isn't something that somebody comes in at the end of January and turns the key and all of a sudden, oh, look, the economy's fixed. It's a process. It takes a while. And if it takes more than 2 years, well, that has an effect on the midterm elections for sure. So that's the countdown. That's the clock that, you know, maybe Donald Trump won't be looking at anymore because, you know, he can't run again. So he might not have that timeline for, lack of a better term, making America great again. But the Republicans in Congress will have that timeline, that deadline, because they're the ones that are going to be looking for re-election. And I said to Chris, and he kind of, you know, he pointed out, you know, Donald Trump comes in day one as a lame duck president. So how does that affect what he does? There's a lot of people that are like, well, he's just going to, you know, he's going to have a Republican Senate and maybe a Republican House. He's got the Republican Supreme Court. Well, the conservative leaning Supreme Court, he's going to just do whatever he wants. And I said, it's also entirely possible that he doesn't do anything either. It's entirely possible that nothing that he wants to do gets done because he's going to face opposition. Having a majority doesn't necessarily mean that everything gets done that you want to get done. There will be some people, and I think you're probably going to see a lot of Republicans who will stand up to some of these ideas. You know, not that they would be obstructionist to not getting them done, but, you know, they might say there might be a better, more bipartisan way to get it done. But I also think you've got a lot of Republicans that are going to just go along with MAGA to get along because they're going to look at the numbers. So it'll be interesting to see how much that, you know, supposed spirit of unity and working together and bipartisanship that people want to see, if it actually happens. And then the other part of it is, how does Donald Trump look at his vice president? Because Jeff just sent in a Snapchat message. J.D. Vance will be the next president. Watch and see what he does in the next 4 years. I think you're going to see somebody who doesn't do anything in the next 4 years. Because I don't think Donald Trump's giving his vice president leeway to do things. He's going to do exactly what Mike Pence did over the last 4 years. And it wasn't enough for any of you to want to vote for Mike Pence when he was in the race. At some point, Donald Trump will turn on J.D. Vance, or J.D. Vance will turn on Donald Trump. But that's the thing. Is Donald Trump setting up a legacy, or is he just worried about how history looks at himself over the next 4 years? Does he want to see what he is pushing move forward? I'm just here to tell you right now, he doesn't care about any of the things that he's been telling you about. When he's done in 4 years, he couldn't care less what happens after that, except for how it affects him. So just keep that in mind as these, you know, decisions are made and as things happen over the next 4 years. 508-996-0500. I mean, I hope that you get everything that you want. Listen, if gas prices drop down to $2 a gallon, if if everything at the grocery store drops down to, you know, record lows or whatever it may be, it's not like I'm going to be standing there saying, you know what, on principle, I think I'm going to pay more for this because I don't want to give Donald Trump credit for anything. No, surely even the people that voted against him will benefit from that. But let's wait and see. And also, let's not expect it to happen right away. As I said, you know, it's going to take time. It's not a magic, it's not the magic wand that I think a lot of people are expecting it to be. And I'm not saying, you know, people who are intelligent voters, people who are experienced voters, people who have gone through this before and didn't just jump on the political bandwagon because they are fans of a person, understand that. They understand that you can't expect a complete sea change on day one. But there are a lot of people who don't know any better, who voted in this election, that will be expecting that to happen. I saw it yesterday on social media where people were like immediately expecting things will happen. Like the guy hasn't even taken office yet. Like you got to give things some time. I know you're new to this all, but you've got to let it breathe. Like I was just talking about this with someone in relation to health insurance. You know, I changed my health insurance premiums this year. And I did it in a way that it was supposed to, you know, I was paying more per month, but it was supposed to lower my copays. And I was like, that's more manageable for me because I can budget that, as opposed to, you know, being surprised when I have to go for something that I wasn't expecting. Cause like, you know, I've gone through cancer. You never know when you're going to have an appointment for something that you didn't expect. And I also have, you know, still have sleep apnea, I guess. I'll get tested, I think, later this month. But I have an appointment. Who knows when the test will be? But you've got things that pop up and surprise you. And so I was like, you know, I've gone through this whole year now, from January now until November. And I haven't really felt that I saved anything from doing that. Well, because I'm still paying off 2 surgeries. Because I'm still paying off all the deductibles, because when I go in there and they tell me how much my deductible is, I'm like, well, just bill me for that. Because when you've got, you know, 2 doctor's appointments in a day back to back, you don't want to pay a huge copay at both. Just bill me for that. So yeah, it's taking a while to see those changes. And I think you'll see the same thing happen with the economy. Some things might happen, you know, in reaction. Certainly, you know, the market went up yesterday. And as I said yesterday morning, we were told, Manny Resendiz told us multiple times when he came in for Money Mondays, after the election, things will stabilize. Jose says it every week. After the election, things will stabilize. Because the market doesn't like uncertainty. Didn't matter who won, you would see that happen. But now we'll see where that goes going forward. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I guess you can be glad there will be less political advertising on television. Although I'll be honest with you, I didn't see a lot until the final few weeks of the campaign. Like, yeah, they were there, but the final few weeks I started to see a lot of it. I mean, certainly here on the radio, you hear a lot of it, especially getting close to the election, but that's because you're dealing with local candidates that have smaller budgets and are going to schedule their spots for, you know, the maximum impact close to election day. So yeah, you're going to have everybody wanting like the 2 weeks before election day. They'll hit it hard. Not every candidate looks at it that way, but you know, that's That's frequent in local races. That's kind of the way that it goes. And I think you saw the same thing happen in the national election too, where they said, "Hey, you know, we're getting all the coverage that we need because the TV news networks are milking all of this. We can wait until right before election day to try to get the word out there." And in a lot of cases, I don't think it was trying to sway undecided voters. I think it was just trying to motivate people to make sure that they got out and voted. And that's why you saw during, you know, NFL football games last weekend, so many ads. And now those will all be replaced with your holiday shopping ads. You're going to get, it's a Happy Honda Days, it's Toyota-thon, it's every store's, Black Friday sale. You're going to get all those ads now to the point where you start to say, I'm tired of these too. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM. Hello? I got you up there. No. Everything's on my end. Is your phone on mute? Very weird. Let's try that. Are you there now?
Yeah. Good morning. You blacked out.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I had to press the button an extra time, but I got it to work.
Could have been Trump.
Probably more gremlins than that.
Yeah. You sound kind of nervous.
I am not.
You're not nervous?
No. What would I be nervous about?
I don't know. It's just the tone of your voice between yesterday and today just seems like just a bit off. You're not talking about the Conjuring House or the Lizzie Borden thing or Edenville Railroad. So I'm just, are you okay?
Why would I be talking about those things when we just had a presidential election and a local election?
I don't know. I mean, it's just, that's your modus operandi is usually talking about that kind of stuff. And now you just in the tone of your voice, I'm just wondering if you're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine, and I don't need you to psychoanalyze me.
All right, just curious. Hey, I hope you have a good day.
You as well.
Relax. You're still alive. You're still above
ground. That's what I was saying before the election. I said, I think you're hearing a lot of rhetoric, but everything will be fine. Nothing's. It's not like it's going to be. What was that? The Yeats poem. The Second Coming. It's not going to be that where all of a sudden, the Carmina Burana is playing and, comets are coming down from the sky and striking the earth and, there's black sulfur in the air. Like, things are going to be fine.
All right. Good. Keep that positive attitude, Tim. It's going to be okay.
Okay. You have a good day.
Give me a pat on the back.
All right, 508-996-0500. We got to take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back. All right, we do have a caller on hold, and we have room for you at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. Caller, I'm just going to ask you to hang on, though, just a couple of minutes here, because we've got a giveaway to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom. Take it away, Phil.
After conceding the race, Kamala Harris vows to keep fighting. Healthcare workers saying no to COVID vaccines. And for the Ruby Slippers, there's no place like home.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Kamala Harris is conceding the presidential race to Donald Trump.
While I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
Speaking from her alma mater, Howard University in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday, the vice president said her heart is full of gratitude for her supporters. Harris said she called President-elect Trump earlier in the day to congratulate him, and she's looking forward to a peaceful transfer of power. She also thanked Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota for his work on the campaign trail as her running mate. Some top members of the Harris-Walz campaign are giving themselves a blunt assessment of their efforts. Lisa Taylor has more.
Campaign surrogate Lindy Lee said losing to Donald Trump was a red wedding moment and a bloodbath.
So everyone is in a state of shock. Youth and Latinos and African Americans, a lot of them went over to Trump. So there's going to be a lot of soul searching the next couple of days. I hope that we can do an honest assessment.
Lee said Democrats need to figure out what went wrong. She says one of Harris's biggest failures was not separating herself from President Biden when she told The View she wouldn't have done anything different than the president. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The story of Tuesday night's election was the minority vote. Brian Shook with the details.
Trump won a growing share of Latinos, and experts say it was the Republicans' messaging on the economy.
The argument that Democrats were a threat to the advances that that Hispanics had made.
SMU political analyst Cal Gilson says that shift towards the GOP was most pronounced in South Texas. Trump came out on top in Hidalgo County, which has historically been a Mexican-American stronghold. President Biden won that county with 58% of the vote back in 2020. I'm Brian Shook.
The White House says President Biden will address the nation this morning at 11. Biden spoke with Trump on Wednesday and congratulated him on his election victory. He also invited Trump to the White House to talk about a smooth transition of power. Trump's pending legal cases will most likely be dropped. NBC News reports the Department of Justice is moving to wind down Trump's criminal cases before he takes office. The move would fall in line with a longstanding policy that a sitting president cannot be prosecuted. Attorneys for accused quadruple murderer Brian Koberger will ask a judge in Boise today to consider removing the death penalty as a punishment in the event their client is convicted. Koberger is accused of killing four University of Idaho students in November of 2022. Five out of six healthcare workers in hospitals and nursing homes say they're not getting COVID-19 boosters. A recent survey shows despite the fact that many healthcare workers view COVID as a serious health threat, they're not confident in the safety, effectiveness, and benefit of the COVID vaccine. The ruby slippers once worn by Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz are being sold in an auction set to end next month. The shoes were on display at the Judy Garland Museum in Minnesota until they were stolen in 2005.
Give me back my slippers. I'm the only one that knows how to use them. They're no use to you. Give them back to me. Give them back.
The shoes were recovered and returned to their owner, and the museum has been raising money in hopes of getting them back through the auction. The slippers have an estimated value of over $3 million.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins home in Boston to play the Calgary Flames tonight at 7. Celtics host the Brooklyn Nets at TD Garden on Friday. Patriots and the Chicago Bears Sunday in Chicago. Catch the game here on WBSM.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Another pleasant, mostly sunny day here on the South Coast. Temperatures in the upper 60s to low 70s. More sun and a high of 66 on Friday. A cooler weekend with temperatures in the 50s, but back up to the 60s in time for Veterans Day on Monday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
All right, let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Good morning, sir.
How you doing?
A couple of things that you said this morning. I think the reason why Democrat leading stations don't, radio stations don't survive is because, I mean, you've got, CNN, ABC, NBC. So you get to listen to like-minded thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I think that unless you like Fox News, which I'm really not crazy for, I tend to like listen to the radio for my input. And I like to listen to what a lot of local people think, because even though my guy did win, I still think I'm affected more by local politics than I will ever be affected by, what our governor does, what our mayor does. And, my reason for voting for Donald Trump wasn't economic. It was the border. You know, growing up with 13 brothers and sisters in a different era, you know, housing was definitely cheaper. I'm going to be 70. I mean, we all know that. We still struggled, and housing was still an issue until a more wealthy family member gave my dad some money to build a house. a lot of these people, letting that many people over your border, well, we know where they're going. They're going into communities like I grew up in that are usually poorer, and housing at that time was more available. I think they put a great burden on the working poor. I don't expect food prices to ever go back down. Maybe gas.
It will be hard because, when companies and businesses start getting a certain price, it's really hard to get them to go to a lower price than that.
But as far as Donald Trump goes, I don't know if you remember when Obama, and I did vote for him, he had the House and the Senate, and there was nothing drastic done. There's checks and balances set up to prevent, they need, 60% of the House, and I don't think that the Republicans have that now. Like I said, it was that open border situation, and my hope is that that's corrected. I personally don't know of anywhere else in the world where you can cross into a country where they're going to take you in, give you housing, give you food, and give you a stipend to spend. I don't know. Maybe there is. I'm not.
Yeah, there are countries that have, programs like that. And that's also, in those countries, they've got people who are against them as well. So it's not uncommon that if it happens that people are in opposition to it.
Like, even though a lot of people don't like Trump, I don't see locally how much he's going to change, many of our lives. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
All right. You have a good day. And 508-996-0500. You can send your app chat messages and your open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We got an app chat message from Steve who says, "Hi, Tim. It was my first time as a poll worker in Fairhaven. It was a great experience, and the amount of detail and safeguards to make sure every vote counted was amazing. It was nice to see so many people that were mostly nice and patient." And then he says, LOL. So I think that's been the predominant thing that I've heard about what went on at the polls locally, is that everybody was, in a good mood. They didn't mind that they had to wait. There were a lot of people. I mean, obviously it's frustrating if you have to wait and you weren't expecting to, but I also didn't hear of anything around here with 2.5 hour lines like they had in other places either. And we also didn't have some of the issues that they've had in other places too, where, and these were just glitches, technical errors. From everything that I've heard, New Bedford didn't have those that they'd had in the past. Maybe something happened and I missed hearing about it. But, the issues that we had during the primary with machines not, shutting down because they weren't plugged in properly and they ran out of battery power, those kind of things have been fixed. Running out of ballots, those kind of things have been fixed. I mean, you weren't going to run out of party ballots in this election because it was one ballot. But the idea that, this became a burden for people to have to get out and vote, I don't think that people felt that way about this election. It was also a beautiful day. It was also, people were fired up over what had been going on over the last couple of months. So, you might have a different outlook the next time there's an election. People might be less enthused to go out and vote if there isn't as much on the line, or they might not be as enthused to go out and vote if it's a rainy day. Like you had a perfect storm coming together to get people excited. I also saw a lot of complaints yesterday on Twitter, for example, of people assuming, and I don't know how much of them were being smartasses, how many of them were being facetious, or how many of them really believed it. I just saw it in my feed. I wasn't really diving too deep into it. I was just scrolling through, basically because I was watching the Celtics, and during live events, I will go to Twitter and just see what people are saying. It's kind of fun. It adds an extra layer to what you're doing. Before, I just started getting inundated with stuff I didn't want to see on Twitter. But a lot of the posts that I saw were people saying, where 20 million Democrat votes are missing because 20 million more Democrats came out and voted in 2020 than did in 2024. And how can it be, if we're supposed to have record-setting voting, there's just missing votes? That's some bad math. That just meant that 20 million people didn't come out and vote. Or maybe out of that 20 million, some of them switched to Donald Trump. There was, what, 5 million was the difference, the last that I saw, between the two in the popular vote? So maybe that's some of them. Maybe they were people that were, and I don't know why, going to vote for RFK Jr. And when he dropped out, they said, forget it, I'm not voting for anybody. Maybe they were people who just decided they'd had enough. Or maybe they felt like Kamala Harris didn't have a chance and they said, I'm just going to sit it out rather than go participate in something that's what they might have seen as futile. My guess is that a lot of those posts are trolling. I think most people are smart enough to realize that if we had less votes, it was because less people voted. But it does fly in the face of what we were being told, you know, expect a record turnout, this is going to be insane, blah, blah, blah. And it was good, had a good turnout, but I also think, you know, could have been better. And that's why you saw both campaigns have their messaging on Tuesday of go vote. Don't sit home. Don't get out of line if you get there and there is a line. Also, though, I think some of it is, I don't know, maybe people are just coddled too much. But I heard, you know, God bless Paul Rudd. The man seems to be a genuinely good person. I know some of you can't believe that about any, you know, Hollywood actor, but he seems to be a generally good person. And he showed up at some of the polls, I think in Ohio, and was handing out water to people. And like, he wasn't looking to be interviewed. He was just wanting to give people water. And one of the networks caught up with him. But they were talking about how, you know, a lot of places had brought water and snacks to people that were waiting in line. I don't know about you, but I can wait in line to vote without needing a snack. The bottle of water might come in handy, but I also would have brought a bottle of water with me. But it was a warm day in a lot of places. You know, I could see people are in line standing outside and they thought it would be quicker. Didn't bring water. You want to bring them a bottle of water. But did they need a snack? Was anybody in line for like an hour getting ready to vote and they saw that maybe had another hour to go and they said, you know, screw this, I'm hungry? I don't know. 508-99, if they did, I don't know how serious they were about voting anyway. 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Not bad. You voted in New Bedford?
I do, yes.
Okay. How was it when you went? Many people?
I did early voting.
Yeah, when I went in the afternoon, mid-afternoon, it wasn't bad. Not that many people there. You know? I know there's was a police detective from New Bedford dressed in civilian clothes, and he was asking the ladies if they had enough ballots. And they said, yeah. And he said, are you sure? Because we wanted to make sure we got enough for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, I seen it, that the mayor took it seriously because I asked him about that, if I had his word. And they did a good job.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. I haven't heard any complaints at all. Yeah. And kudos to Manny and the staff and everybody that stepped
and
it up.
And he was telling, the detective was telling the ladies he had a busy night because he, oh, should I say busy day, because he was going to all the polling places, keeping an eye on everything, making sure it was on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought I'd share that with you and everybody out there.
I appreciate it. How busy was it when you went to...
The mayor was on top of it. I appreciate that.
How busy was it when you went to vote?
Not many people. Probably, I would say, other than myself, probably 3 or 4 people there. But it was early afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm thinking it probably picked up a little bit more after.
Oh, definitely, yeah. That's usually the slow period is in the early afternoon.
And it was a beautiful day out, you know, and I would have gone if it was, you know, snowstorm. But, you know, I'll take the good weather, you know.
It was so nice. You went out and voted twice, right? No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing.
No, let me just say those stickers that the kids did a great job. It was an anchor, you know, and then to go out and vote. So You know, I appreciate them putting their time in and giving us that, you know.
Well, thank you for sharing some insight.
All right, Tim, you take care of yourself.
Have a good day. And, yeah, that's I early vote because, again, as I mentioned, I never know how my day is going to go, and I don't want it to get away from me and not have a chance to go, especially on a day when I expected. If you're getting in line at 6 or 7 o'clock at night to vote, you're probably going to be waiting a long time in line because that's when people are getting out of work. So, and I know you probably don't think about it because I'm here early in the day, but I'm also here late at night. Like I leave generally, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock is an early day for me. Generally, I'm here till like 5:30, 6:30 sometimes. So I didn't want to get out and run the risk of having to wait. Yeah, granted, I know everybody that's in line will get a chance to vote. But I've also been thinking, I've also got to get home and keep an eye on the results and write any stories that I might need to write tonight. So I just don't like to take the chance. So early voting works for me. But, and then election day is, I can be less of a participant, more of an observer for purposes of, you know, reporting things back to you or having these discussions with you. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here and we'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in and say, listen, we've got a very special thing happening this Saturday over at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. It is their holiday tasting event, and it's happening this Saturday from 1 to 4 over at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, and it's their annual holiday tasting event. So you're going to get to try whiskey, you're going to get to try wine, gin, beers, ready-to-drink cocktails, and more. Now, you must be 21 or over to participate, of course, but they're going to have all kinds of people there, like Heavenly Spirits, Short Path Distillery, Whalers Brewing, Copper and Cask, Ruby Wines, The Sangria Lady, Mad River, Classic Wines, Abacus, Westport Rivers, so many more. So many different great things to taste and try, and everything that you get to try, if you're interested in buying it and taking it home, they always do sale prices, usually 10% off on all the items that you are sampling. So I'll be there. I'll probably be there the whole time, but I'll be there and you can sample along with me and we can chat. And while you're there, if you're a whiskey or a bourbon drinker, can you tell I had some last night? No. But if you are, you know, a fan of those, you can join the Rack House Club. And I'll tell you all about that because I'm a huge fan of it. I've been a member now for months, and you just pay one price every month. And when you do, you go in there and you pay it. They give you your bag with a bottle in it worth at least that much, plus some other goodies as well. And you get 10% off all your whiskey, bourbon, and rye purchases anytime. So again, 1 to 4 this Saturday at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. Come by and sample some stuff with me and get ready for the holidays. We'll find the perfect thing for you to bring to Thanksgiving, to Christmas, or to drink when you get home from either of those because you had to deal with your family all day. All right. 508-996-0500. Let me get this one last break in before the end of this hour.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for University Housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.